that'll pretty much destroy the viability of all of London, one of the most important cities in the world.
Possibly. If you actually go to London and look where the Thames is and look where the embankments are of the river, the banks are quite steep. So the river's like, if you look on a bridge, the river's down there. It's quite far away from where the bridges are, etc. Mm-hmm. So even if it were to rise 2 meters, 3 meters, London, central London itself, I don't think would be that affected. It would be the other sides of London. It would be the other side, like to the east or the west, I think would suffer the worst damage, especially people's homes that are on the banks of the River Thames.
But are you sure you're not just imagining the river rising a meter and a half? We're talking about ocean levels rising a meter and a half. The entire ocean surrounding the island nation of England and Great Britain, the whole thing is going to go up by a meter and a half, not just the River Thames.
Yeah, well, the flattest part of Britain is the east coast. It's actually Norfolk.
That's around it's usually Dover and stuff?
Okay, yeah, kind of further north actually than that. Okay. But kind of Norfolk, Suffolk area. That's the flattest part of Britain. So that would be the worst affected. So like, you know, towards Cambridge, you know, it's all very flat there.
Really?
And places like Norwich, Ipswich. Those places, well, I don't know, they would even be, you know, that part of Britain would just be lost. That chunk of Britain is gone.
Scotland is fairly mountainous, right?
Yes.
Wales?
Mountainous. In the north, anyway.
So the Welsh and the Scottish are going to be kind of okay?
Yeah.
It's the English that are really going to take it?
Yeah, the English would take it certainly on the east coast, the south coast, and I guess parts of the southwest. But parts of the southwest are actually quite hilly, so they might be a bit better off. But anyway, climate change, rising sea levels is going to affect every country.
Everything. Especially Japan, too, because of the nature of the geography of the country, with so many mountains in the middle, populations have congregated towards the coasts for many, many reasons. It's a fishing country. That's where trading is done. And basically, the mountainous areas, it's much harder to populate. And with sea levels rising 2 meters in the next 85 years, this country is going to change incredibly, just drastically, in terms of everything.
It just goes to show that we're talking about this right now, and it doesn't seem to be in the news very much that this is going to happen. All right, we're talking about it like, in theory, this could happen in 85 years, but what are you hearing on the news or the media about climate change? What are governments doing around the world collectively to trying to stop this, trying to nip it in the bud? I mean, they have to be doing something about it. You can't just say we need to build bigger seawalls. That's not a solution.
No, it's not. Not at all.
There has to be a political solution driven by the needs of the people who live in these countries. And it's not just Japan or Britain or Canada. It's everyone. I mean, you're going to lose part of your, you know, the very existence of where you live.
There's going to be drastic changes, not just in, you know, people think, oh, well, I'll recycle more. That's really not going to do anything. It's going to take incredible changes in our economic distribution systems. It's going to take incredible changes in terms of the population levels that we have right now. We cannot maintain this system. But here's a question. I mean, like, it's a fairly provocative question. As people ourselves, what are we willing to sacrifice? I'll give you one example. I'm like you. I'm very happy that the air conditioning is now turned on at the university. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine going through a Japanese summer, but because, you know, we're sitting here, you and I both right now, we're calling for real drastic action, real changes in society and in economy. And if the government says, okay, well, that means no air conditioner for anybody for the next 50 years because you've got to cut down on CO2 production, could you live with that? Because that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, no, I don't want to live with that, and I don't want that to happen. So I'm pretty selfish, right?
But I think we need to address that. I mean, that's a natural reaction for a lot of people. I don't want to. But okay, so then what are you willing to compromise on? And I'm not saying you. I mean, to everybody.
They always say that it's not really about what a certain country does. It's what the collective countries do.
Right.
So if you stop using AC in Japan, it doesn't matter if China and America are using their ACs. Because they're hot. The effort we can make isn't going to make any difference to the final result unless others do the same, or at least collectively we all head in the right direction.